Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
You're listening to Luke's English Podcast. For more information, visit teacherluke.podomatic.com.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to episode 124 of Luke's English Podcast. This is Luke speaking, and I'm just sitting here in the living room. The weather outside is absolutely appalling. It has been snowing for, say, the last 5 days or so, and there's been snow everywhere. But now the temperature has dropped. The temperature has risen, I think, by a couple of degrees. So what we've got is kind of like the leftovers of snow, and it's half melted, so it's kind of become slush now. So it's kind of like half snow, half water. It's when snow goes bad or when snow goes wrong, it becomes slush. So there's slush all over the streets. People are sort of wading through it. It's melting. And there's lots of water going down the gutters of all the streets and everything. It really is a slippery nightmare outside. And it's even raining slush as well, because it was snowing earlier on. But now the snow is kind of melting in the air and it's falling as kind of slush rain. It really is horrible. So you might hear the sounds of drops of this slush rain falling on the roof here. If you can hear a kind of percussive tapping sound, that's because there is some kind of rain hitting the roof above my head. Now this episode, first of all, I'd like to just say in this episode that I'd like to just apologise for the sound recording on the previous one. I've just received an email. The sound recording on the previous episode of this was pretty poor. And that's because I was having some sort of recording technical issues. I've got two microphones. One is a kind of a Yeti standing microphone, which is a bit like a sort of radio mic, something like that. And it's quite good quality. But you have to get the settings just right. So, for example, the input volume, the level of recording on the computer, and also the position of the microphone. Because it's one thing having a very high-quality mic, but on the other hand, also you've got to take into account the environmental surroundings, the acoustics of the area in which you're recording. Now, if you listen to the radio or the BBC or something like that, they actually have sound-protected studios in which they do their recordings, and they have kind of quite small rooms with sort of padded walls and ceilings. And the idea there is that they can sort of limit the amount of echo or reverberation that's happening around the microphone. And so all of the sound just gets sort of captured quite cleanly by the microphone. Now, if you're recording in just a normal room, maybe with a hard floor, hard walls, that kind of thing, then you're likely to get quite a lot of ambient noise around the microphone. Add to that, things that are in that space making noise, then basically you're going to sort of draw away from the voice that is being recorded. So in the case of the last episode, I had my laptop on the coffee table and the microphone sitting next to it. So the sound of the hard drive of the laptop was kind of bleeding into the recording of my voice. And also, I tried to sort of block out the laptop using a pillow, but I think what that did is just sort of block out some of the what was being picked up by the microphone, and maybe some vibration was coming through the table. Anyway, whatever it was, it wasn't very good. So hopefully this one is slightly better. I'm recording it on a different microphone, so hopefully it'll be slightly better. So that's what I wanted to say first, just to make a note about the sound recording level and the sound quality of the latest episode, and also to let you know that, well, tonight it's Monday the 21st, and the voting for the Macmillan Best Blog competition closes at midnight tonight. And I don't, as I said in the last one, I don't want to count my chickens before they hatch. But at the moment, I've got more votes than the others, so it looks like I might be with a chance of winning. I hope so. Fingers crossed. Now, if I do win that, then I'll obviously be able to say on my site that I won it, and I'll post a badge there which shows that. And also, I'll get £100 of Amazon gift vouchers. And what I plan to do with that is sort of upgrade my sound recording technology a little bit by buying a new microphone, another handheld mic, which I hope will be much better quality and will allow me to sort of produce, you know, consistently good quality sounding podcasts for your listening pleasure. Okay, so as well as saying those other things, I also just wanted to mention that recently I wrote a blog article for the London School of English. Now, I write for their blog sometimes. I sort of guest contribute articles every now and then. It's a really good blog, actually, and you should definitely check it out. That's the London School of English blog. You'll find a link to it on the web page here at teacherluke.podomatic.com. It's a really good blog. It's written by people I know, friends of mine, and they write about all kinds of different things. And so you can read the article that they've written, and underneath you will find a glossary which explains and defines certain words or bits of useful vocab that you can read in the article. So I do suggest you go and read it regularly. I wrote an article for them not long ago all about James Bond. So what I'm going to do for you in this episode is just read through this article about James Bond, and you will be able to read the article on my website, because I'll reproduce the blog post there, and also you can see the vocab and definitions below. And there's loads and loads of really good vocabulary that relates to things like movie vocab, things relating to sort of movie franchises, the issues that surround the making and consumption of big blockbuster films, and the way they're made, and the people who star in them, that kind of thing. So loads and loads of vocab. So I think I'll just read through the blog post now. Now, I wrote this article in response to the release of the latest James Bond film, which is called Skyfall. You might have seen it yourself. It's a very, very successful film, and it kind of really successfully revitalised the James Bond franchise. Daniel Craig, of course, was the James Bond actor this time again. He's generally quite a sort of quite a positive actor, and lots of people seem to like him, and he does a very good job. It's very convincing. You'll be able to hear more about Daniel Craig in this blog post. In fact, really, I'm going to give you a kind of a history of the last 50 years of James Bond. So after listening to this, you'll be fully clued up on all matters James Bond. So if you watched Skyfall, or if you've seen any other James Bond films, then do leave your comments on this this podcast episode. I'd like to know what you think. And if you don't know anything about James Bond, you've never seen any of his films, well, his films, as if sort of he's the one who makes them. Well, if you've never seen any James Bond films and you don't know anything about it, then, well, you can certainly learn a few things by listening to this episode. So I could do more episodes, more podcasts about James Bond, because it's kind of a big topic and something that I sort of personally find quite interesting. But for now, I'm just going to give you the 50-year history of James Bond. And so the reading of the blog article is going to start now, if you're reading along while listening to this. So here we go. 50 years of James Bond. This year, the James Bond franchise celebrates its 50-year anniversary with the release of the new Bond movie, Skyfall, which is receiving some very positive reviews. Some people are calling it the best Bond movie ever, and it's likely to become the highest-earning film of the franchise so far. In this blog post, I'm going to give a brief overview of the history of the franchise, and then tell you what I thought about Skyfall. You can find definitions of the words in bold at the bottom of this post. First, some background info on the James Bond films, released by Eon Productions. The series kicked off in 1962 with Sean Connery as 007 in Dr. No. This was followed by four other films with Connery as Bond. These first five films really established all the hallmarks of the James Bond franchise. A cool and handsome Bond, sudden violence, stunning international locations, beautiful women, casual sexism, ironic jokes, usually made by Bond just after killing someone, gadgets, side characters such as M, Q and Miss Moneypenny, insane bad guys who want to destroy the world, and other trademarks such as Bond's Aston Martin sports car and his Walther PPK handgun. Sean Connery is still widely considered to be the best Bond. It was his combination of good looks, self-confidence and aggression that really defined how we see Bond today. In 1969, after Connery quit, the role of Bond went to a largely unknown actor called George Lazenby in the film On Her Majesty's Secret Service. Lazenby didn't enjoy playing Bond, complaining that the producers hadn't treated him with enough respect as an actor, and that the character was a brute. The film is widely regarded as a flop, with Lazenby an unconvincing Bond. Personally, I like the film. It's full of amazing action sequences and has quite an emotional ending, unlike most of the other Bond films. Lazenby's Bond is more vulnerable and human than Connery's, which makes him a more realistic and three-dimensional character. Connery was persuaded to return as Bond for Diamonds Are Forever in 1971. In contrast to the previous film, this one was more humorous in tone. In fact, during the 70s, the films became less serious and prone to moments of silliness and generally quite formulaic. Then, in 1973, Roger Moore took over as James Bond and the silliness continued. Moore's acting style was more suited to comedy than action, and many of Moore's films contain moments of camp humour, which many critics believe lessened the seriousness and dramatic impact of the franchise. Still, Roger Moore is an entertaining James Bond, and even if he was less aggressive and dynamic than Connery and Lazenby, he's still a convincing actor. Roger Moore made seven Bond films, and the last one, A View to a Kill, was considered to be a financial failure. Moore was too old to continue as Bond. The producers decided it was time to find a new actor for the role. Initially, the job was offered to Pierce Brosnan, but then withdrawn because of his contractual commitments to a popular TV show called Remington Steele. But Brosnan would return later. It was Timothy Dalton who got the role in the end, playing Bond in two films from 1987 to 1989. Dalton was a classically trained actor and decided he would play Bond as a dark, serious character. In a similar way to George Lazenby, he interpreted Bond as a more vulnerable character who questions his orders from his boss, M. Critics praised his two performances as bringing more weight to the films, but they also criticised the lack of humour and playfulness, which had become an essential part of the franchise. In 1995, after 6 years without Bond, the film GoldenEye was released, with Pierce Brosnan in the lead role. It was a big box office success, and was generally considered to be a modernisation of the series. Pierce Brosnan was praised for his performance as Bond. He seemed to combine aspects of both Sean Connery and Roger Moore. He had the looks, the charisma and the aggressive brutality of Connery, but also the suave sophistication and humorous touch of Roger Moore. He also managed to include some of the depth and psychological realism of the Dalton performances. The film also included Judi Dench in the role of M, Bond's boss. This was considered to be a positive move because it addressed some of the sexism of the previous films in the franchise. In one scene, M refers to Bond as a sexist, misogynist dinosaur. Also, Judi Dench is just a great actress and she brought a new level of depth to the character of M. She remains a key character in the more recent Bond films, especially Skyfall. Brosnan made five Bond films in total. They were all commercial successes, but critical reactions were mixed. GoldenEye breathed new life into the Bond franchise, but the subsequent Brosnan Bond films quickly became formulaic and unoriginal. focusing on action rather than character and story. Then in 2006, we were introduced to a new Bond, played by Daniel Craig. Casino Royale rebooted the Bond franchise, starting the whole storyline again from scratch. We see Bond doing his first assassination mission, earning his license to kill, and struggling with the psychological and physical pressure of being 007. The film was a massive commercial success, and was considered by critics to be a genuinely fresh version of Bond. Daniel Craig was considered the best Bond since Connery, perhaps even better than him. Casting Craig was a bold move. He didn't really look like the classic image of Bond. He's blonde and doesn't have the same classically handsome features as Connery, Moore or Brosnan. However, he has intensity, a sense of vulnerability and very striking physical presence. Casino Royale showed us more than ever that James Bond is a human being. He gets hurt both physically and emotionally. We care about him and feel his pain. Daniel Craig's second James Bond film, The Quantum of Solace, is a bit of a confusing mess. The storyline is very hard to follow, the action sequences are bewildering, there is very little character development, and the whole film is littered with product placement. The film damaged a lot of the achievements of Casino Royale, so with the third film, Skyfall, the producers were keen to fix those problems and put the Bond franchise back on track. The result is that the latest Bond film is a big success. It's already being described as possibly the best Bond film we've ever had, and it's likely to make more money than any other Bond film movie in the past. Most of the boxes are ticked. The film has a complex, serious storyline, yet it's also a lot of fun. There's plenty of exciting action. The bad guy, played by Javier Bardem, is ridiculous, insane and funny. The story is involving. The character development is detailed and interesting. The film pays homage to previous Bond films and even reveals some new details about Bond's history. It's not perfect, of course. While watching, I couldn't help thinking, this is completely ridiculous. But then I realised that it was a James Bond film and it's supposed to be ridiculous. And then I started to enjoy it a lot more. Certainly in Skyfall, Bond has become something of a superhero. Although he gets hurt and is clearly getting a bit old for the job, he still manages to do things which are completely impossible in the real world. But that's all right, because this is James Bond. Daniel Craig is still contracted to appear in two more Bond films. And to be honest, after this one, I can't imagine where they will go next with the franchise. Isn't Daniel Craig getting a bit old to play Bond now? And how will they move the franchise forward when Bond has already been deconstructed in these modern films? How can they do anything new? Will they just remake Dr. No or Goldfinger? Will the Bond films just go back to being silly and misogynistic? I'm already looking forward to seeing the next film, just in order to find out what they do next. If you've seen Skyfall, leave a comment below to tell us what you thought. Otherwise, why don't you tell us what you think of James Bond in general? Feel free to share your thoughts below, and thanks for reading this blog post. Bye for now, Luke. So there you go, that's the blog post, and you can read it, along with all of the definitions of a lot of the language that you heard in that blog post by going to teacherluke.podomatic.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com. The number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.
film. So I think staying on the James Bond theme, I think I'm going to play you a bit of audio now. And this comes from a really good BBC TV show, which is called The Trip. And in summary, The Trip is about a comedian, an actor called Steve Coogan. He's basically been given a job to go and visit various restaurants in the north of England and write reviews for them, which will become articles in a newspaper. Okay, so he's been given a job to kind of visit restaurants, go on a kind of road trip around the north of England and write reviews. And he's chosen to bring along with him one of his friends, who is also a comedian and an actor, and his name is Rob Brydon. And so Rob and Steve go on this road trip, and basically, because they're both really funny guys, they're just really hilarious, and it's interesting to sort of listen to them talking. And also, they're such good comedians, and they're very good impressionists, and they do lots of impressions and funny voices. So basically, the show is about following them on their road trip. You listen to their amusing conversations, and you kind of watch them eating all of this fancy food in these lovely restaurants. But mainly, it's just about sort of funny conversations that they have with each other, and the various impressions of different actors and things that you can hear them doing. So in this one, I'm going to play you a clip from The Trip. And in this one, Steve and Rob are eating some dinner, and they're talking about James Bond and the different acting styles of the different people who've played James Bond, and also some of the things, typical things that bad guys would say in a James Bond movie. So why don't you listen now to Steve Coogan and Rob Brydon talking about James Bond in the BBC TV programme The Trip.
Drinking the wine makes me feel quite sophisticated, a bit like, you know, James Bond ordering a martini.
I'd like a martini shaken, not stirred. I want it now. Don't make me wait.
I'll have a vodka martini shaken, but not stirred.
I'll have a vodka martini shaken, not stirred.
I'll have a vodka.
I'll have a vodka.
You look very worried.
So do you.
No.
You should take a look at your face.
I'll have a vodka martini shaken, not stirred.
You look like you're recovering from a stroke and learning how to get mobility again.
I'd like a vodka martini shaken, but not stirred.
I can feel my legs. It's a miracle.
I'd like a vodka martini shaken, but not stirred.
I'd like a vodka martini shaken, not stirred.
Come, come, Mr. Bond. You derive just as much pleasure from killing as I do.
Come, Mr. Bond, do you get dressed as much pleasure from killing as I do?
I'm saying that bit.
All right, no, I'm just saying, just don't caricature, try and do it real. Come, Mr. Bond.
Shut up, don't tell me how to act.
Well, I bloody should do.
Why?
Because sometimes you tend to sort of, you know, crank it up a bit. You
yeah,
know, turn the volume.
You are widely regarded as the king of understatement.
All right, I would do it like this. Come, Mr. Bond, do you get dressed as much of... Come, Mr. Bond.
Try and get the lines right.
All right,
as a rule, it's
okay.
More effective if you don't fluff the line.
Okay, but I'll deliver it with a nice bit of understatement. Come, Mr. Bond, you get just as much pleasure from killing as I do.
This is it.
Come, Mr. Bond, you get just as much pleasure from killing as I do.
Come, Mr. Bond, you get just as much pleasure from killing as I do. Fucking yeah.
No, you went up at the end, like you watch Australian
soaps.
Did you see
what I did on my face?
Come, Mr. Bond, you get just as much pleasure from killing as I do.
Come, Mr. Bond. You derive just as much pleasure from killing as I do.
When I kill for queen and country. Though I admit, killing you...
Come, Mr. Bond. You derive just as much... Sorry. You derive just as much pleasure from killing as I do.
Okay, so you've just listened to Steve Coogan and Rob Brydon talking about James Bond and being sort of funny and everything. Now, you might not have understood everything there, so what I'm going to do, because I'm just, you know, really generous and just helpful in general, I'm going to actually help you out by sort of taking you through that clip again and explaining bit by bit what they're saying. Now, because I'm recording this on my sort of handheld microphone, it's hard for me to do this in the computer by editing it. So what I've done is I've just moved the speaker in front of me. So I'll play a bit of the audio and you'll be able to hear it through the speaker. So this isn't sort of editing really, this is more just me playing it and you can hear it in the speaker. So this, you know, the quality of what you're going to hear from the clip is might not be great, but you can go back and listen to it again if you want to hear the original version. So first of all, they're sitting at a table in a restaurant and they're drinking some wine. And first of all, they start talking about the wine. And Rob says, let's see, what does Rob say? Here we go.
Drinking the wine makes me feel quite sophisticated.
Drinking the wine makes me feel quite sort of sophisticated.
Drinking the wine makes me feel quite sophisticated, a bit like, you know, James Bond ordering a martini.
Drinking the wine makes me feel quite sophisticated, a bit like James Bond ordering a martini. Okay, the martini is James Bond's most famous drink, and he drinks it shaken, not stirred. And now Rob sort of does a Sean Connery accent. Now, to do a Sean Connery, it's one of the easiest accents to do, to be honest. And I think I may have told you about this before, but if you want to do a Sean Connery accent, you've got to do two things. The first one is that you've got to change every sound. Every sound has to become shh instead. So it's not it's shh. That's the main thing, that you change the s to a shh. Now, you might think that will just make you sound Dutch, and maybe it will, because, you know, the Dutch, they kind of speak, you know, a little bit like this. So they kind of do it. But to avoid sounding Dutch, just lower the tone of your voice as low as it can go. And then you imagine that you're extremely suave and sophisticated. And everything that you say makes you sound like Sean Connery performing 007, James Bond, License to Kill. You know? So that's how you do it. And then you just say things that sort of Sean Connery would say, like martini shaken, not stirred, you know? And that's exactly what Rob Brydon and Steve Coogan start doing. They start ordering a martini shaken, not stirred. And after that, they go into Roger Moore. But see if you can notice when it's 007, Sean Connery, and Roger Moore, who speaks rather more like this. Okay, so you can listen to it.
I'd like a martini shaken, not stirred. I want it now. Don't make me wait.
I'll have a vodka martini shaken, but not stirred.
I'll have a vodka martini shaken, not stirred. I'll have a vodka.
You look very worried.
So do you.
No.
You should take a look at your face.
I'll have a vodka martini shaken, not stirred.
You look like you're recovering from a stroke and learning how to get mobility again.
I'd like a vodka martini shaken, but not stirred.
Okay, they're sort of making fun of each other while they do it, because they're both trying to do, they're both trying to beat each other. It's like an impressions competition, and so they're sort of making jokes. Let's see if we can hear some of those jokes again.
I'll have a vodka martini shaken, not stirred.
You look like you're recovering from a stroke.
You look like you're recovering from a stroke. So he's commenting on the way Steve's face looks when he's doing the impression. It's not very nice, but if you have a stroke, then it means there's something sort of goes wrong in your brain. Like, I think one of the blood vessels bursts in your brain, and you sort of you lose maybe control of parts of your body. So it can make sort of, if you're recovering from a stroke, it can make it look like part of your face is a bit too relaxed or something. So that's what Rob said. You look like you're recovering from a stroke. It's just making fun of the way Steve's face looks when he does the Sean Connery impression.
I want it now. Don't make me wait.
I'll have a vodka martini shaken, but not stirred.
I'll have a vodka martini shaken, not stirred.
I'll have a vodka. You look very worried.
So do you.
No.
You should take a look at your face.
I'll have a vodka martini shaken, not stirred.
You look like you're recovering from a stroke and learning how to get mobility again.
I'd like a vodka martini shaken, but not stirred.
I can feel my legs. It's a miracle.
I'd like a vodka martini shaken, but not stirred.
I'd like a vodka martini shaken, not stirred.
Right, so that there is where they start doing Roger Moore impressions. And you can hear the difference, can't you, between Sean Connery and Roger Moore. Sean, you know, 007, Sean Connery. It's all sort of down, very down low, very low, with that sort of croak. You know, you put a croak in your voice and you speak very, very low, like this. You know, that's sort of Sean Connery. And then when you start doing Roger Moore, it's very much more of a lilting sound. It goes up and down, but you've got to imagine that you have to keep your eyebrow raised, you know, raise one of your eyebrows, so you're kind of being ironic, and then you start to speak like Roger Moore, like that. I'd have a vodka martini, shaken, not stirred, and that's how Roger Moore sounds. Let's hear that again from these gentlemen.
I'd like a vodka martini, shaken, but not stirred.
I like a vodka martini, shaken, not stirred.
Come, Mr. Bond. You derive just as much pleasure from killing as I do.
Okay, now they start doing the voices of bad guys, and it's, what is it? Come, Mr. Bond, you derive as much pleasure from killing as I do. Which means, now come on, James Bond, you enjoy killing people as much as I do. So, you know, it's a criticism. Like, this bad guy obviously enjoys killing people, and he's saying to James Bond, now, you know, I might be the bad guy, but you enjoy killing people too. You get as much pleasure from killing as I do, or you derive as much pleasure from killing as I do. Come, Mr. Bond, you derive as much pleasure from killing as I do. So it's this sort of, you know, archetypal thing that a James Bond bad guy might say, and these guys really do it well. Rob is a bit more sort of ridiculous. He's like, now come, Mr. Bond, you derive as much pleasure from killing as I do. Slightly more ridiculous. And Steve Coogan is trying to be very serious with it, trying to make it more realistic.
Come, Mr. Bond. You derive just as much pleasure from killing as I do.
Come, Mr. Bond. You get just as much pleasure from killing as I do.
I'm saying that bit.
All right, no one's saying it. Just don't. I can't get your trying to do it real. Come, Mr. Bond.
Shut up. Don't tell me how to act.
Well, I bloody should do.
Why?
Because sometimes you tend to sort of, you know, crank it up a bit. You know?
Yeah, so whereas you are widely regarded as the king of understatement.
Right, I would do like this. Come, Mr. Bond. You get just as much of... Come,
try and get the lines right.
All right.
As a rule, it's okay. More effective if you don't fluff the line.
Okay, but I'll deliver it with a nice bit of understatement.
Okay, so Steve Coogan here is trying to deliver it with a nice bit of understatement. So instead of making it really big and obvious, like, oh, come, Mr. Bond, you derive as much pleasure from killing as I do. You know, it's more, he's trying to do it more understated, so... Come, Mr. Bond, you derive as much pleasure from killing as I do. You know, a bit more serious, a bit more real. So that's what they're talking about there.
Come,
try and get the lines right.
All right.
As a rule, it's okay. More effective if you don't fluff the
line. Okay, but I'll deliver it with a nice bit of understatement. Come, Mr. Bond, you get just as much pleasure from killing as I do.
This is it.
Come, Mr. Bond, you get just as much pleasure from killing as I do.
Come, Mr. Bond, you get just as much pleasure from killing as I do. Fucking yeah.
No.
So, Rob is very pleased with himself there because he did it better than Steve did. So he goes, fucking yeah, because he's pleased with himself, he's celebrating, right? And he does do it better. He's very good there. Let's have a little listen to that again, maybe.
Yes, I do.
Come, Mr. Bond, you get just as much pleasure from killing as I do. Fucking yeah.
No, you went up at the end, like you watch Australian.
You see what
soaps.
I did on my face?
Come, Mr. Bond, you get just as much pleasure from killing as I do.
So Steve is saying that Rob went up at the end. Come, Mr. Bond, you derive as much pleasure from killing as I do. You know, if you go up at the end, either it sounds like you're asking a question or it sounds like you've been watching too many Australian soap operas. Now, I say that because in the UK, we have lots of Australian soap operas, for example, Neighbours and Home and Away. And the thing about those is that for some reason, some people in Australia will... intonate upwards at the end of their sentences. So, you know, so if you're from Australia, you might, you know, everything seems to go up at the end. So whatever you're saying, it all seems to just sort of somehow end up going up at the end of each sentence. So everything goes up at the end. And so you find that some English people, like sort of young people who watch these Australian shows, start speaking like that. So everything seems to sort of go up at the end. Like that. So Steve is saying that that's how Rob did his, that it seemed to sort of go up at the end, like that.
No, you went up at the end, like, yes. Like you watch Australian.
You see what it did on my face?
Come, come, Mr. Bond, you get just as much pleasure from killing as I do.
Come, come, Mr. Bond. You derive just as much pleasure from killing as I do.
So now they're doing the line, but they're sort of drinking their wine just as they say the end of the line. So you kind of can't really hear the last few words because they're drinking their wine. It's quite funny, I suppose.
When I kill for queen and country, though I admit, killing you...
Come, come, Mr. Bond, you derive just as much... Sorry, you derive just as much pleasure from killing as I do.
So there you go, there's your bit of James Bond knowledge, and I think that that's probably a good of place as any to bring this podcast to a close. And I'm just sort of speaking in a slightly posh, slightly pompous old man's voice for no apparent reason at all, only because it pleases me to do so. So, ladies and gentlemen of the world, you have been listening to an episode of Luke's English Podcast. Thank you very much for listening. Bye, 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 bye.
So, like, nice one for listening to my podcast, yeah? I think you'll agree, it was totally wicked. And, you know, respect to you, basically, for, like, downloading it and that. If you want more information, just visit my website, yeah? teacherluke.podomatic.com, all right, wicked. Excuse me.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you enjoyed this episode of Luke's English Podcast, consider signing up for Luke's English Podcast Premium. You'll get regular premium episodes with stories, vocabulary, grammar, and pronunciation teaching from me, and the usual moments of humour and fun. Plus, with your subscription, you will be directly supporting my work and making this whole podcast project possible. For more information about Luke's English Podcast Premium, go to teacherluke.co.uk/premium info.